I want to step out and do 24/7 prayer in our church. The minute I stepped out, poof, heavy stuff. Even I know a guy in the ministry, very high guy, like him a lot, he fell. Hard, boy, so grieved. Very high up, just fell. Wife looks at me and says, "You better watch it." And I says, "God has kept me from, God has blessed me with obscurity. He's kept me secret, and thank you, Lord." But it's so true that the Holy Spirit has so much power to lift us above everything, if we'll trust him. Lord, we all come to you. And this is not about any person. This is about your spirit inside. You raised Jesus from the dead. And I just feel you talking to me now. I really do, really heavy. Where, yes, I pray, but you're telling me, get on your knees and plant your knees to the ground. Start to really pray and trust me. Work with me. Work with me. Work with me. And I know that we can pray, but there's a type of praying of warfare prayer. Praying where we intercede and we don't let go of God until he blesses us. And Lord, I just pray you would take me into that so I can lead the church into prayer. Lead us into a place where we have victory and we're not being kicked around by the enemy. I just cry out to you, as one elder said to me when I started this church, this is going to be a war machine. I didn't know what he meant, but I really do know. This is not a yacht. We're on a war machine. We're on a mission, and Christ is the head of the ship. I just cry out to you, Lord, teach us how to pray, how to give up our problems, how to really let go, and really watch you answer. As you said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We bear fruit. When we bear fruit, it's answered prayer. And when we get answered prayer, it glorifies you. This is your words, Christ. Bring our church into this, Lord. Bring our church into this. Bring us into so deep with you in our relationship that people, we don't have to say anything. They've been with Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, just start off like this. Do you know that you can confess your sin about the flesh and yet do it in the flesh? Do you believe that? Well, I did it on Wednesday. I was sitting right here. I was worshiping God. I was having a ball. And all of a sudden, listen to this now. This is really heavy. God had to teach me how to articulate this to the church. What happened was I was sitting here, and all of a sudden, a dart came at my mind. Boom. And what I should have done is, I should have lifted up the shield of faith, and in the name of Jesus, reject it. I didn't. It hit my mind. It went into my emotions. It spun me into the flesh. I started to pray about the flesh, and God said, "Don't pray. It's not the right time. You're in the flesh." I said, "No, I got to pray." So all I was doing is unloading the flesh, but I was not really praying, confessing in the way the Spirit wanted me to, and I put a cap on the whole prayer meeting. I just knew it. And from that point on, God said to me, "You just need to be very careful. It's not only that you confess, it's the timing of it that's important. Or it can be in the flesh. The flesh is really wild, like a wild animal inside of us. Ready to pop its head." Well, he had listened to this then. 2 days later, George phones me. Brother George. Funny guy, man. And he gives me a call and he says, "Hey, guess what happened to me?" So I just finished going through that. I'm grieving. And why did I do that for, you know? And then he phones me and he says, "Hey, guess what? I just confessed." I said, "You confessed?" He says, "Yeah. I confessed to two cons." Or one con, was it? One con. And he says, "And that's not normal. Because he's a guard, and a guard doesn't have to say anything to the cons." So he goes and he says, "I'm sorry, I confess, I humiliated you." I knew right away that was in the spirit. He wasn't unloading.
He was actually confessing in the spirit because he humiliated these cons, and imagine the effect he's going to have on the cons. They're going to wonder, a prison guard apologizes to me who's in prison. That doesn't make any sense, right? But that's from the spirit. Mine is the flesh. You did it in the spirit. Good illustration, eh? Why did I say all this? The flesh, and this is why I think God wants me to fight now. Every time I get into move the church a little forward, I feel the devil just after how he can hit me in my heart. And so God, it was your prayer, but he was telling me, get on your knees and you know how you have those guns? And plant yourself there and fight in prayer for the church. Start to do it. I said, okay. But then I'll give you a message how you can let the whole church follow you. I said, okay. Because the flesh can easily come into our time alone with God. Are you hearing me? The flesh can easily come into our time alone with God. And when people look, I say, how did you do with the Lord? I don't know. It's because the flesh was there. Because there is no, I don't know when God meets with you. You know. Okay? So I have that problem. I'm not anybody here. I have been a 23 years pastor, 35 years Christian, and a guy prays. Greg invites me to his breakfast. The guy prays. He says, Lord, I'm like a little baby. I don't know how to walk in the spirit. I go, yeah, me too. And he's praying. And that's the truth. I'm not just trying to say that. This is really, really a skillful thing to learn. To be able to pray and not let the flesh come in. And to really focus. So here's my sermon. Cultivating your time with God. Cultivating your time with God. So it's like a farmer. If Tash was here, she'd like it. It's like a farmer, eh? A farmer has to cultivate the land, okay? But there's this one word that came to me. I don't have it on here. It came this morning, and I have to read it. Bear with me, okay, please, church? Here goes. Cultivating. It's Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Let me read this to you. Remember the word cultivating. You're plowing, you're doing the ground, right? Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Now listen to this. And break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Unplowed ground. It's like when you come to the Lord, there's a hardness because of what we've been in our life and in the week or whatever you've been, and a hardness sets in. And God says, break it up. Break it up so I can get in there. And we just come into God and say, oh God, I want to spend time with you. It's not like that. You got to cultivate. Hey, what would you do if you were meeting the President of the United States? I asked somebody that question. You know what they said to me? What a wonderful answer. I'd listen. And when you come in and you talk to somebody like God, he's much, this guy, President of the United States, this is Almighty God, and we're going in to talk to him. So we cultivate our time with him before we go in, breaking up anything he says to us. And there has to be some sort of listening and quietness. Are you following me? This is hard to do. This is difficult to do because the devil wants to stop the church from doing this. Definitely. Everybody in this room. The devil does not want you to be alone with God. Period. The minute you get alone with God, there's power. Tremendous power. I know it. I know God is trying to tell me, get to the closet. Get to it. And you'll preach like you've never preached before. It's not about eloquence. It's about the Spirit of God and its connection when you're praying. And it's a supernatural thing. It's like if I want to love my wife, I'm going to have to pray more. It's not about any techniques here. It's the Spirit of God flowing through you. And he does it through prayer. It's a mystery. But he does it. And I get I'm telling you, I'm really being convicted. And I know it has to be not by what I do. I know it has to be by the way I was saved. That he just comes to me and I agree with him. Are you with me? It's really, really important, this. Really important. The Holy Spirit creates our thirst, but God expects us to cultivate it. Remember that. The Holy Spirit, if you're in church right now, he's created that thirst. He's done that. Now he says, I want you to cultivate that thirst. It's going to go away. I put it there. Now cultivate it. Break up the unplowed ground. Here's my first point. Cultivating our time with the Lord the wrong way. The wrong way. Look at this. Look at this. This is God is telling Moses in Exodus 33, show me your... Okay. And then God says, okay, Moses, you want to see my glory? There's a few things you're going to have to do. First of all, you're going to have to do this, Moses. This is 1-4. He says, verse 2, be ready in the morning. I'm going to read it. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out 2 stone tablets like the first ones, and I'll write on them the words that were on the first tablet. The first tablets, I like this part, which you broke. I didn't break it. You broke it. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain. So Moses chiseled out 2 stone tablets like the first ones and went up on Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the 2 stone tablets in his hand. Here's the steps that he took. Verse 2, be ready in the morning. Early in the morning, that's he prepared himself. Present yourself to him. Okay. No one is to come with you. That was what he did to spend time with God. The steps. Here's where it gets real heavy. All these are good, but they can become a formula or a set of rules where the heart is not engaged. Are you following me? I'm telling you the truth. I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm at this age of my life where, and it's true, it's not about the rules and the formula. God did that for Moses because he wanted it done that way. But the way he does it with us, the way he meets with us, is so unique, so creative, that you've got to find out how you can engage your heart with him. It's all different. You follow those rules, it becomes legalism. It becomes works. If you start following a set pattern, even Bible reading, you know those Bible readings, I'll read the Bible through in 3 years, you read the Bible, even that can become not the Lord, that could become drudgery. God really wants, I created my own Bible reading. Do you know that? I asked the Holy Spirit, how do you want me to read my Bible? And he told me, this is what I want you to do. And don't follow me. Find out how God wants you to meet with him. How does he want you to engage with him? It's all different. This is why he's a creative God. This is why he made you the way he did, the way he might. He might make you meet with him in movies. I'm being upfront with Ronan. I'm being very upfront. He might be able to meet with you in any way, but he knows how to tap into your heart, and he knows how to create you to engage you. But you know what we have to do is we have to be responsive. We have to be ready. We have to, and John said this, and I thought this was for Wednesday. It's not. It's for today. It's for today. He says, do you not perceive what I'm doing? Don't you see what I'm trying to do with you? That's cultivating. Open your eyes. How is God wanting to speak to you? You know how serious it is for me as a leader to listen to the Lord if I'm leading? Are you following me, everybody? You know how subtle it is to lean on your own understanding? The flesh. How subtle it is. Or fear. Fear grips you when it's your children. And all of a sudden, instead of depending on the Spirit of how I should do things, I go into the flesh. Are you with me? I'm in this kind of situation right now. I don't want to say, but I'm in this situation. I could hear God say to me, Steady! 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 Are you hearing me? That's what you have to hear from God when things hit your life like crazy. You're going to hear the Holy Spirit say, steady! I'm in control. Steady! Don't move. Be still. No, I'm God. I'm in control. Let go of codependence. Trust me. That's where I get my steadiness now. I'm learning. Imagine, I feel like I'm a dunce, man. I should be in the corner. It's okay, I'm still learning, right? Praise the Lord. Steady. You're going to never forget those words. That's in Hebrews. Steady knees. Steady your knees. Calm. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. True? Learning. I'm learning with you guys, man. All of us. Hey, listen, when somebody thinks they have it all together and they start telling you everything, a little red light should go off and say, pride! Pride! When somebody's telling you everything, pride! Even in the district, and when I'm with the district or everything, I got people who tell me that how to put my shorts on. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Pride! I'm that old now. I don't listen. I listen to people who, you know, I know they're listening too. And I start listening to those kind of people. You too, you guys too. If you catch pride with me, confront me. I'll let you do it. Gentle. Gentle, please. Don't depend on formulas. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't depend on it. It doesn't work. This is spirit-filled meeting with the Lord. Spend time. And you know what the funny thing is? When we do depend on formulas, what happens is we forget who draws us to Himself. Ah. I mean, I can ask everybody in this room that the best time that you ever spent with God is when He drew you to Himself. You didn't even figure it out. Am I right? This is perfect. You just think, oh God, I can't do it. I can't do it, Lord. I don't know how to spend time with You. You're too great. I'm too small. Hey, you guys were joking with me, but this is the truth. I am small. I'm like this man compared to this awesome God. And I'm going to talk to Him. Yeah, I can. He said I can. But how? I'm like an ant. He's like mighty God. He's got to teach me. And you know what's funny about Jesus Christ, eh? It's so funny that Jesus came on earth to show us it's not easy to be a man. He even said it in Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5. You know what He says? He says it. This is Christ walking on the earth. He says, He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. That's Christ. Now, if He had to do it, what about you and me, Derek? And we go to God, oh, I can hear Him. I can't hear Him. I don't even know how to make a message, preach. I'm not joking. It's the hardest thing to do to try and preach in front of you guys and look like an idiot. Nobody's laughing. I was waiting for you to laugh, man. But I'm telling you the truth. I truly am. It's so difficult to spend time with God because it's not up to you, it's up to Him. He initiates, you respond. If you initiate, it's the flesh. That's the bottom line. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. You initiate, it's flesh. He initiates, it's the Spirit of God. Respond. And I like what my wife said. Sometimes she looks at me and she says, sometimes He gets me off guard. Isn't that true? Sometimes He speaks to all of us and you say, is that You, Lord? That's me. And it's so easy to go into the flesh, isn't it? On this area of listening to God or prayer. You can ramble. I remember my friend Harvey Crouch saying, he was, I think he was 87 at the time. He's gone to heaven now. Best guy I've ever, miss him a lot, eh? But I remember him telling me when we were praying, and we were in a prayer meeting, and he says, you know, Miles, there's a lot of prayers that are prayed in the flesh. And I said, what the? I didn't understand. But today, I really understand that this praying is so unique that the Holy Spirit is the only one who can pray through us. That's why Paul says in the same way, what does he say? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And he's using it, we, him, Apostle Paul. Imagine that, the Apostle Paul. And you think you and I are going to try and pray without the Holy Spirit? Do you think that we can bow our... Tell me how many, including myself, how many times have I bowed my head without even turning to the Spirit of God? How foolish. How foolish. I grieve him. He's come here to help me. And you know, when you have to go to heaven and I have to go to heaven, he's going to help us in there. He's going to take us home. That's why we don't have to worry. But we need to start trusting him, really relying on him. Would you say amen to me? Listen to this guy, Keith Price. Guy, you know what somebody did to me? You ever do this? Somebody sends you a book and doesn't tell who did it. Yeah, seriously, you ever get those people? Or they'll send you a note and don't put their name on it. I just want to tell you God's convicting me to tell you something. The guy sends me a book. But this was I don't care who it was. Oh, this book was called Thirsting After God by Keith Price. And he says this, here then is the watershed test. When the instruments have stopped, listen to this, when the instruments have stopped, the Bible opened and the character of God expounded, does my worship deepen or diminish? If the latter, I would do well to plan periods of absolute quietness until my mind, singly focused on God himself, learns to respond in unaided worship. Once that lesson is learned, I'll be in less danger of making too much of outward aids. Only then can I more safely use every faculty, as well as the rhythm and harmony of beautiful melodies, do more richly enjoy my worship. It is when my heart finds rest in God alone that my body and all that is within me can praise his holy name. Such motivation will then produce right living after the music has stopped. Oh, what a quote. What a quote. Eh? Isn't it true? I'm not like that. I'm not even there, but I'm moving in this direction that I don't need anything because God's big enough to bring me to himself, to draw me. He did it. He does it to us all. Amen? We don't need any aids. We have one of the biggest aids you can ever imagine, the Holy Spirit within us. You tap into that and he'll get you to worship God like you've never worshiped him. That's why it's so important to cultivate our time with the Lord in a right way. It's very important, isn't it? I want you to know something. If the Holy Spirit, I've been praying so heavy, I got hammered, bam, bam. Before I came here, I just got whacked around. Bam, bam, inside, not outside. And I'm here standing. God says, you just say what I told you to say. I don't care how you feel, just say it. So here I am. God said to me, you tell these people that if they want a revival, it starts personal. And then I go in corporate. And this is revival, personal revival. That when we learn to pray and spend time with God, and not like Martha, where we're all over the place, thoughts are just distracted all over the place. I'm thinking about everything. I'm not saying anything about anybody in this place. I know how I am. I'm all over the place. And God says, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to focus. Focus. Like Mary of old, sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to what he said. I'll tell everybody that. Guys, listen to me. How many of us do this? Just sit at his feet and listen to what he says. Now, prayer. Are you following me? Can't do that, can you? I can't. Only with the power of the Spirit can we do that. Listen to this. There's this word called sanctify. This is a word, a Bible word. Oh, this is a theological word. But it is a Bible word because the word sanctify means to set apart or to make holy. Okay? So, the only way that you could spend time alone with God is this word has to be produced in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It has to be. Listen to this. When we turn to the Spirit of God first, then He sanctifies us to spend time with Him. When you, every morning or in the evening, whatever time you spend God, this is not the, you know, you got to spend it in the morning. I don't know. Me, I like morning time. You could spend it in the afternoon. You could spend it in the evening. Whatever's good for you, you do it. But in order for you to spend time with the Lord, the Holy Spirit has to sanctify you, set you apart. You can't do it. Are everybody hearing me? This is very biblical. The Holy Spirit has come so that we can spend time with Him. You can't do it. There's no personal revival. This is what I'm going to pray for everybody. This is it. When you turn to the Holy Spirit, you ask Him for this. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. I love these words. Through and through. So He just doesn't do it. He just go a little bit through. Through, and you got a knife, eh? And it's through, right through. The Holy Spirit wants to go and not just a little bit, not just a corner, not just a bit, just right through, permeate and control. That takes, honestly, when that happens, you are sanctified. You can spend time with God. The church has to come back to this. We've drifted away. We have to come back to this. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify Megan through and through so that you don't come out of your closet and say, man, that was a drag. I didn't even spend time with God. Just wasted 30 minutes. Have you ever done that? Oh, I don't even have to ask you. I've done it many times. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that ever a sanctification on earth? Through and through. Then one who calls you is what? And He will? You don't do this. He will do it. We need to turn to Him. All of us. And don't just say you're going to turn to Him. This is the way you spend time with the Lord. When you get into this kind of position, I'm telling you, you won't want to get out of the presence of the Lord. You'll want to stay there. I've had it, man, when I've been with some men, they're in heaven now, and they would pray. I'm telling you, Harv was like that. I would go into his house. He was about 85 years old. He would bow his head, and the presence of Almighty God would come down. Boom! I've been around men like this. I've been honored. And I want that. I want that for this church, that the presence of God. And it is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You can feel it coming. But individual like that, sanctified through and through, ask the Holy Spirit to do this. Just ask Him. See if He'll not. I don't care how old you are. I'm 60. I need it. I need it. I want to have a prayer life, man. When I used to hear David Wilkerson speak, man, this guy I used to really love. I went and saw him about 5 times downtown, down in New York. I used to love hearing that guy. He is like me. He's just like me. I know it. I could tell. Like, he's not like me, but he's, you know what I'm trying to say? And I used to say, yeah. There was something that when he spoke, it wasn't his fancy words. It was power. I just felt power. And it's because he spent time with the Lord. And he would say these things like, sanctify through and through. That's where I got this stuff. I'm going back to it. You want to really walk with the Lord, you let the Holy Spirit do it through and through. And I'm telling you, you'll have a life like you've never had. As George often says to me, it's an adventure. But this is not an adventure. This is living in space. That's why the apostles were so powerful. They did this. They were through and through. That's why some of the men, John Wesley, David Brainerd, Jonathan Edwards, David Wilkerson, other men, John Piper. Why? Why? They spend time with God through and through. They really do. And I want this. You pray for me, church. You pray for me. You pray I go this way and I can lead you the proper way into the presence of the Lord. That's what we need. We all need it. You want to get satisfied? That's what you need. You want to get satisfied. It's important to be balanced in justifying grace and sanctifying grace. Why do I say that? Justifying grace. I like it when I talk to you, Con. You know, I do. I love it. Con, she helps me with my sermon. I put it up. So when I talk to Con and I know that I'm not clear, she'll go like this. And I'll go, oh, I got to make it clear. I got to make it clear. Good, I like that. I do. I really like it. You know, I get a little clues. Eh? That's good. Make it clear. Make it clear. Sanctifying grace is what I just talked about. Justifying grace is what I talked about 3 weeks ago. It's where God takes you and he lifts you up and he says you've never sinned. You're completely free. That's justifying grace. Sanctifying grace is when Christ lives inside of you and he makes you like himself gradually through this earth. That's sanctifying grace. They're both the same grace, but what both different activities. One lifts you up, and you're made holy. All of a sudden, boom, you don't have to do anything. The next is you're made gradually through the Spirit as you get sanctified more and more. Are you with me? Okay, this I have to prove. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want to show you something. This is where you have it. You have both of these concepts in this one verse. And it says this, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect. There's the justifying grace. He has made perfect. That's justifying grace. You're already made perfect. The other part is forever those who are being made holy. That is sanctifying grace. Justifying grace on the top, sanctifying grace on the bottom, both put together. Now, listen to this. This is very important. I want to share this with you. John Wesley, he said this, because he understood the dangers of unbalanced theology, that's what's happening sometimes in the church, he did not overemphasize Christology with its focus being on justification through Christ by faith, nor did he overemphasize pneumatology with its focus being on sanctification through the Holy Spirit. Rather, he sought to underscore both equally. He saw the danger of mysticism, emphasis on subjectivity, where our inner hearing of Rhema becomes more important than hearing the Bible. He also saw the danger of placing emphasis on the Word to such an extent that sanctification was undermined. Wesley realized that overemphasizing the Spirit could lead one to undermine justification by faith. He believed both needed to be stressed. Now, this is what will happen. And I'm seeing it in the church now. I'm watching among my colleagues. John Bryan came to me one time. He phones me up. He says, Miles, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? There's this guy. He's out. I knew who he meant. There's a few of them out there. He said, he's always emphasizing on grace, 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 but we don't do anything. I said, he's wrong. He's wrong. Something's wrong. I just can't pick it up, John. I don't know what it is. Just be careful. John goes, okay, thanks, Mom. Click. Never hear from him again, eh? John. And so no problem. Then it starts, really, I'm understanding now. If you lean on justifying grace and you do not have sanctifying grace, what happens is it becomes unbalanced. And what happens is you start to abuse grace. You do not, if you only have justifying grace and no sanctifying grace, what you're doing is you're abusing grace. Do you understand what I'm saying? But And what really happens is you start to doubt your salvation. If you're only dealing with sanctifying grace and no justifying grace, boy, oh boy, you can get into a big problem too. Because then you start to just think that you're doing it all. It has to come together. Listen to this. Just listen to this. This guy, Scott Fitzgerald, he said, the test of first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Oh, are you following what I'm saying? Here we have justifying grace, and there we have sanctifying grace. And there are two ideas that are in the scriptures, like I just showed you. There it is. They're both the same. They're different in activity, but same grace. But you need to hold those both in your mind, the same as sovereignty and free will. They need to come together both in your mind. If you start to move on one end too much, you move into heresy. And some people, they call it hyper-grace, where you don't need obedience anymore. You don't need to confess your sins anymore. Oh, how dangerous that is. That's what you call no sanctifying grace. It's all justifying grace. Are you following me? This is important, church. We're moving into error. We're moving into the devil's camp. And people who are astute with the scriptures and, you know, want to learn, God's going to show you. Wrong. This has to come together. And listen to this. In Ecclesiastes 7:18, it says this: holding on to the one. Hear me, please. You got to hear me on this one. Not letting go of the other. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. This is very important in the Christian life. Because there's so much, two truths that look opposite, but they're the same, only in heaven, not on earth. But we need to hold on to them so we don't go into heresy. Everybody following me? That's why it's hard to be a pastor right now, because a lot of stuff's coming in. And pastors are going to get... If you stay on your knees, spend time with the Lord in His Bible, you're going to see error. That's the only way we're going to be protected. Pastors need to know that. Everybody needs to know that. It's really... But it's exciting, isn't it? You got it? Did I explain it well? Con? Okay, thanks. Okay. So, you know, this is important. Remember this. Sanctifying grace cultivates our time with God in a real way. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once in worship. I want to tell you, listen to this. This is heavy. As I said, here, listen. I heard this one time, and I think it's so true. You ask the wrong question, you get the wrong answer. You ask the wrong question, you get the wrong answer. You ask the right question, you get the right answer. You know what the right question would be? This is it. For spending time alone, why do you come to God? Why do you come to the Lord? This cannot be answered right here. This has to be answered in your heart. Is this for an experience with him? Is this for things to get from him? Is this something that, you know, I would like to have? Listen, if you're coming to God for those things, your relationship with God will be so superficial. Because we come to God for God. Not to get well, which he wants us. Not even to help my family, which he wants to. But I come for God. My goal is God himself. And when you start to get into this kind of, in your heart, saying to the Lord, Lord, I want you and you alone. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to look at your heart and he's going to say, and I want to be with you. Is everybody hearing me? God knows. If you put a stake in the ground, bam, I want to be with you, Lord. And you know, I never forgot John Nakanichi. He phones me up and he says, you know, my kid's asking me, you told me that God, the glory of God is God. And you know what? My son said, prove it to me in the Bible. And you know what? That's what happens. That's a little bit of a detriment. If people hang around with me, they're going to keep asking me, show me in the Bible, show me in the Bible. So then people start doing it. Can you show me in the Bible where it says that? And then sometimes I can't. I'm just shooting them off my mouth. And it really makes me think, you know, watch out, Miles. This is just your opinion. the Bible. It's got to come from the scriptures. But this one, I said, I can show him. And you know what he did? It was here. Show me your glory. Right? The glory of his compassion. The glory of his mercy. The glory of punishment. The glory of judgment. The glory of his wrath. What else is it? The glory of abounding love. The glory of his faithfulness. The glory of slow to be anger. He showed Moses his glory, his character. You see it? See his glory? Everybody see it? I'm not making it up, am I? When the character of God is expounded to you, does it make your heart go, wow? Or does it like this? So what? Something's going on in the heart. Because it should be, wow! And when it does hit us like that, and I'm not trying to make it, I know it's hard because I've had a hard time doing this, but I know in my heart, when God looks at our heart and says, I want you, Lord, I want you. I don't know how, but I want you, Lord. God sees that heart and he makes every effort to reach you. That's how important this is. When we ask to spend on our pleasures, God goes, no. But when we ask for him, he says, come. And only God knows the heart. That's why some of these guys that have preached through the history, he knew their heart and he anointed them. They wanted him. I know a guy now, pretty high up. He fell. He fell. I can't believe he fell. Heart hurt so much. I just hurt. I don't want to say anything. I'm just going to pray for him. But I tell you, popularity, man, what your son said, is so dangerous. Sundar prayed a prayer with me. He's my pastor. He prayed this prayer with me. You know what he prayed? Lord, would you bless Miles with obscurity? And he has. He's protected me. My wife looked at me today, Colin, and said, and we know who this man is. He looked at me and said, you would have failed too if he would have brought you up like that. And she's right. I know. He protected me. And I have my dignity still. I still can go. I can still preach to you. And I love being with you people because it's accountability. Hey, elders. Accountability. You need it. But when you do have a heart like this and you break through and God sees, you know you're with him. You do. It's so wonderful. It might take 5 minutes. It might take 10. It might take 15, but wait. And when he comes, it's beautiful by you. Just you and him. The best way I could explain this is it's happened to me, you know, a few times. I'm not going to say I'm big, but I want it. I want it. It's like this. He entered not by the eyes when God comes in, for his presence was not marked by color, nor by the ears, for there was no sound, nor by the breath, for he mingled not with the air, nor by the touch, for he was impalpable. You ask then how I knew he was present, because he was a quickening power. Isn't it true? You know, I know you guys know what I'm saying is true. There's few that know this. That all of a sudden you know that all of a sudden the presence of the Lord comes in. It quickens you. And we want this in this church. A quickening power. Not the flesh, not the emotions, but the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Lord comes in and makes you alive. And you can't explain it. You can't explain it. Look at this. Because he was a quickening power. As soon as he entered, he awoke my slumbering soul. He moved and pierced my heart, which before was strange, stony, hard, and sick, so that my soul could bless the Lord, and all that is within me praised his holy name. And listen, when you meet God, and I'm not saying, but when we meet God together, you know what the end should be? The end should be Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. That's the end. If it doesn't, you haven't met with him. You have not met with God if it doesn't end with that. You have not. I can say it equivocally. I'm telling you, you haven't met with God. Because if you meet with God, you worship him. You feel a stillness. It's like God saying, yes, Miles. You tell the church, you tell the whole church this. Bring them back to worshiping me. I'm going to just sit here and be still in the presence of the Lord. If you want to lift your heart up, don't be shy. Stand up and let the church agree with you. I am not going to dictate. I don't know what the Holy Spirit wants. You want to stand up and pray? You pray. We'll join you.